Chapter 3.
This time, Kaylin heard a voice from below.
Down here.
She followed down a narrow, winding path that terminated at a level area peppered with bushes. Watson sat, sweating and staring at the dirt. Footprints covered the ground as if he had been pacing. Kaylin put her hands on her hips.
Taking a rest?
Watson looked up with a forced smile, opened his mouth, but then closed it again. Kaylin sat beside him.
So, I guess you made it up okay,
Watson said.
Tough climb, but I managed. Did you have any trouble?
Watson lowered his head again.
What's wrong, Watson?
Then she noticed a blackberry bush a few feet away.
Oh, did you?
He lifted his head and drew a deep breath.
Yes, I sampled a couple berries. Not like a full meal or anything. I just thought I probably shouldn't have, but I saw the bush and...
Kaylin sat in silence for a few moments, then placed a hand on his back.
It was a mistake. Live and learn, right?
He pressed his lips together.
Yes, live and learn.
From atop the ridge, another voice sounded.
Amen to that!
Watson and Kaylin both stood to see who had spoken. Silhouetted against the twilight sky stood a man in tattered clothes. Kaylin's training told her to move several paces to her right. If the stranger attacked, the separation would make them two targets instead of one. But she ignored the impulse and stayed in place. The man's friendly tone and non-threatening posture set her at ease.
Are you okay? Called the stranger.
We're fine,
Kaylin said. The man worked his way down the path.
Couldn't help but overhear your conversation. Sounds like you're both cottage people. I am too. I came to the lowlands to visit a friend, but got a little lost. It's good to see some friendly faces.
The stranger paused at a strawberry plant, bent down to retrieve a berry, and popped it in his mouth.
You don't mind, do you?
Difficult to resist when one is in the lowlands, Watson said.
I'm glad to finally meet someone who isn't so uptight about small things. The ruler never meant for us to live in legalistic bondage.
Watson nodded and plucked a blackberry, like it was a daily occurrence. Kaylin felt the impulse to do the same. Not that she wanted any fruit, but it seemed rude not to join the stranger in partaking. Watson and Kaylin had both received extensive instruction about the battle in the spiritual realm, and both excelled in their ability to sense unseen activity.
But the winsome stranger had set them at such ease that neither had an inkling of the skirmish taking place in that moment.
A dark power emerged from inside the stranger. In an instant,
Kaylion, Kaylin's guardian, lunged in front of Kaylin to shield her. Watson's guardian, Saul, rushed the power, leaving Watson exposed.
It was a calculated risk. He knew two guardians would be no match for a regional power. But Saul had unusual speed. If he could catch the power by surprise, maybe...
The power easily parried Saul's strike, sending him sliding into a clump of bushes.
Before he could recover, scores of warriors sprang from hiding places on every side and surrounded him. In an instant, the regiment of warriors had Kaylion and Saul in custody. The power drew his bow and fired two arrows in quick succession. The first sank deep into Watson's chest, just missing his heart. The second flew toward Kaylin, but she sensed the evil presence and dove to the side. The arrow glanced off her knee, leaving a deep gash. Saul thrashed against his captors as the evil power approached Watson and Kaylin.
I just wanted to make sure you were okay down here, said the stranger. I don't know where you're headed, but I wouldn't recommend going down that.
He gestured to the steep downslope.
That'd be some rough going.
Tell me about it, Watson replied. I just climbed up from down there.
What?
The man leaned over the side.
How in the world did you make it up that slide rock?
You're a brave man. Shaking his head, he turned back to Watson.
How'd you get down there in the first place?
We were attempting to cross the river,
and were swept into the gorge. We had to climb out from the bottom. The man's eyes widened further.
You went through the gorge?
Whoa! I never heard of anyone surviving that stretch of river. He plucked another berry. Either you're amazing paddlers, or the luckiest two people on the planet. Watson took a handful of berries from the same bush.
Watson?
Kalen started. I'm Watson, he said, extending his free hand. The stranger shook it. And this is Kalen.
Pleased to meet you. I'm Michael.
Drawing another arrow from his quiver, the dark power set it on the string, drew it back, and pointed it directly at Watson's heart.
A blinding flash exploded from the ridge above. Streams of orange and red light shot out like a spider web, and behind that, a bright royal blue glow. The warriors dropped their weapons and covered their eyes. A massive javelin struck the dark power from behind with such force it sent him headlong down the hill where he disappeared into a thorny berry patch. As the light subsided, the warriors removed their hands from their eyes. They wilted when they saw the man who stood above them. Watson dropped the berries, startled by a booming voice from the slope above.
Live by Judas' desires, and you'll die.
Kalen drew an excited breath.
Laith! You're alive!
Laith moved down the path, eyeing the stranger with the caution of a deer in lion country. Kalen ran to Laith and threw her arms around him.
We searched the end of the gorge for you. We thought... How did you...
When I came to, I was on a rock between the water and the cliff. Wasn't going back into that river. So I climbed. Figured it was my only hope.
Kalen raised a brow.
You climbed the canyon wall?
Laith shrugged.
It was windy.
His smile flattened when he turned and eyed the berries at Watson's feet.
Speaking of wind, are you walking with him, Watson?
The stranger rolled his eyes.
It was a couple of berries. We all make mistakes. The father understands that.
Laith laid a hard stare on the stranger.
Was someone talking to you?
For the briefest moment, the stranger clenched his teeth, then relaxed, but stood his ground. Kalen took note.
This stranger was clearly a man who could handle himself.
Anyone else would wilt under a threatening word from the battle-hardened redhead. Laith turned to Watson.
Have you forgotten the warning? That if any man says, I will be safe even though I persist in going my own way, the father will never be willing to forgive him.
Shoulders slumped and head down. Watson kept silent. Kalen could relate. She also felt the quills as her heart ran against the grain of those words, especially the last phrase. The father will never be willing to forgive. The dark power regained his footing and started up the hill toward the three friends. Warriors blanketed the hillside. Again, the power spewed his attacks into Watson's ears.
Why do you think you could help Abigail escape? You can't even resist a couple of berries. Get the log out of your own eye before you try to help someone else.
The warriors nearby salivated as they saw Watson's heart falter under the assault. Watson dropped his shield, and the power intensified the thrashing.
Face it, you failed. You were entrusted with an important task, and you couldn't even cross the river without botching the whole operation. And now, with your own sister's life on the line, you're sitting around eating berries. Do you seriously think you can be the one to carry out the ruler's work?
The power stood over Watson and pressed his foot down on his neck, while a dozen warriors surrounded Laith, weapons drawn. Laith spoke with urgency.
Watson, resist, and he will flee.
Watson looked up at Laith with confused, pleading eyes.
How? I am pinned.
Wash your hands. purify your heart. Grieve, mourn, and wail. Change your laughter to mourning, and your joy to gloom. Humble yourself. Return to the ruler, and he will return to you.
Grieve, mourn, and wail, said the stranger. Isn't that a little melodramatic? It's not like he committed murder or something.
Laith turned back to the stranger and stepped close. The man tensed and slipped his right hand inside his long coat.
Laith,
Kaelin said, fearing the stranger would produce a weapon. Laith steeled his jaw. He moved even closer and kept his tone even.
Take a walk.
The stranger flushed, narrowed his gaze, and eyed Laith up and down.
Who are you to...
I'm nobody. Your problem isn't who I am. It's who sent me. I know who you are, and I know you're powerful in this world. But you know that the one who sent me can turn you into a grease spot. So get lost.
Kaelin thought she heard a deep growl rise from inside the man. He faced Laith for a beat, then turned and headed up the hill. Laith faced Watson and Kaelin.
Do you know the difference between satisfying your appetite and spoiling it?
They were silent for a moment, waiting for Laith to go on. But he only folded his arms, waiting for an answer.
They are the same, Watson said. In either case, food is eaten and hunger diminished.
Right. So then why do we call one spoiling and the other satisfying?
The light began to dawn for Kaelin. She spoke as one speaks when puzzle pieces in her mind are assembling themselves with each word she utters.
Appetite is satisfied when we eat something good. Appetite is spoiled when we eat something bad and no longer desire the good thing.
Laith pointed at Kaelin as if she had just won a prize.
And the fruit doesn't just spoil your appetite. It damages your taste buds. And that's serious, because the ruler's food doesn't nourish you unless you can taste it.
He went on.
This isn't just about nibbling a few berries. It's a betrayal. Just as a man's marital desires belong only to his wife, our appetite for life and joy belongs only to the ruler. His claim on our hearts is greater than a wife's claim on her husband's.
Laith held up his wrists.
You remember the ruler's scars?
Of course, Watson said. He nearly lost his hands.
That's right. And he didn't take those wounds just to pay for your evils. He also suffered to prevent them. That's how much he desires your purity and eagerness to do good.
Watson stood.
He's right. This is not an inconsequential matter. The moment we get back from the mission, my first priority will be to confess to the ruler and...
No, not when the mission is over. Now.
Laith stepped closer to Watson.
Don't let the sun go down a single time on your guilt. From the moment you eat the fruit until you go before the Father, you allow the evil one to hold a place inside you. Don't you understand how...
Watson and I both stumbled, Kaelin said. We were wrong, and we need to make things right with the ruler as soon as we can. But we can't return now. The ruler sent us here on a mission, and we must be faithful to carry it out. Time is running out for Abigail.
The dark power continued to batter Watson.
The father is angry. Now is not the time to go seeking forgiveness. Give it some time. Let things cool off. He's not going to want to see you right now.
Watson squeezed his eyes closed, trapping his tears. Fresh stabs of self-loathing ripped through his soul. Normally, he could parry such arguments in his sleep, but the pain of failure and regret paralyzed his will, leaving him defenseless. The power went on.
The father will forgive you in time, but wait for his wrath to subside. For now, do some things you know are pleasing to him. Curry some favor. Then, when this misstep is a little farther in the past, you can stand before him. But don't go asking for his favor now. It's too soon.
Watson summoned his remaining strength and pulled a tiny dagger from his boot. The blade sparkled with purple light. One edge bore the inscription, "Today, if you hear his voice, do not harden your heart." The opposite edge read, "Seek the Lord while he may be found."
"I am going back," Watson announced, "right now."
The power's eyes widened, and an involuntary whimper escaped his lips. He lurched backward, turned, and ran straight downhill, trampling his minions, who also retreated, falling and tumbling in a chaotic, desperate effort to escape.
"I guess the power is afraid of pocket knives," joked Big Red, Late's guardian.
"He'd better be,"
thundered a voice from atop the ridge. The guardians and the friends all knew that voice. The power's terror was not from Watson or the knife. It was from the one who gave Watson that knife, the only one greater than the dark powers. The ruler of the kings of the earth stood against the twilight sky in all his magnificent glory.